Wow. 8 years. 8 years. It has been interesting leading up to this week to think back. And even as Jeremy was going through the pictures and I was looking back through pictures of where we came from, it's amazing we got here. It's overwhelming what God has done over the course of the last 8 years. Just to give you a glimpse into where we began, here's a picture from our first service. It's not blurry because the camera was bad. It's blurry because where we first met was so dingy and dark that it was impossible to take a good picture there. It looks, some of you might think, oh, red curtain, it's this space. No, it's not. It was in a bingo hall that when we first started meeting there, before we went in and repainted the whole room, it smelled, when you left our services, it smelled like you had smoked a pack of cigarettes. No lie, it smelled so bad. And to see what God has done is phenomenal. To see how God has worked. And you look at that service, and the truth is, that's just about all of the people who were there. We were so small that we didn't want to open the curtain because it would reveal just how few band members we had, so we decided to just stand in front of it. And you look at it, you see it's just a bunch of punk kids who really had no idea what they were doing, and then to see how God has used it. And to see how it's developed. At the beginning, it was just a service. That's all it was. We just had a service. I remember talking to one of my mentors shortly after we started, or as we were getting ready to start, and I said, man, do we need to start small groups, or what we eventually came to know as dinner groups? I said, should we get these things going? He looked at me and said, Chris, you are a small group. All you are is a small group. Like, you just need to embrace the fact that you're just a small group. But over the years, how God has worked and moved, it's overwhelming. And really, in every aspect of what we do, because from the beginning, from that night, our mission was set. We're here to help people find their way back to God. And back then, we were just called the Church at Hoboken. We weren't actually called Hoboken Grace yet, and that was just, we couldn't come up with a good name, so we were like, what should we call it? We had to start raising money, and they kept asking me, what's the name of the church? I was like, I don't, just call it the Church at Hoboken for right now, and we'll see where it goes from there. Like I said, we didn't know what we were doing, and to see how God has moved, really in every aspect of how we help people find their way back to God. When you look at how we love our community, because we knew from the beginning, we have to establish a relationship of love with our community. We have to make sure that they know that we care more about them than we care about sharing some kind of message. We have to communicate that loving them is our utmost priority. And see how that's developed. And you look at even this past year, not just how we're able to love people and the simple things that we do, but when you look at one day and the lives that are being impacted through it and how it continues to grow, when you look at the Christmas exchange and how it took us to a whole different level and how we're able to love and impact and serve our community, when you look at the Easter egg hunt, as Anthony just announced, we've come to the point where we're sitting down this year and we're looking at the plan and we're thinking, how are we going to fit 4,000 people on that field, and realizing you can't safely put 4,000 people on the field. So I looked at Anthony and said, can we run two hunts? And he said, no. I said, maybe we could. And he said, no, we can't. And then we started dreaming about it. What would happen? What would this look like? And now looking at going into this next year of having two hunts and not just loving 2,000, 3,000 people, but now being able to love 5,000 people through our Easter egg hunt and just continuing to grow in our ability to be able to love our city and our community. It's amazing. And that's all by God's hand and what God's doing. You look at not just how we're able to love and impact people here in our city, but then in our partnerships, how we're able to impact people in all sorts of other ways. I just asked Anthony for a short list of our partners, and you look at some of the people that we've been able to come alongside of over the course of the past 8 years, and you look at the impact that we've been able to make in South Korea and North Korea with Link, and literally the lives that we've been able to save, people who are alive today, because of the partnership that we have with them. you look at Casa Hogar and being able to come alongside of the children there and be able to love them and impact them. And you look at the houses we've been able to build with Potter's House. There are 10 families. I think the number's 10. There are 10 families that have a house today because of the fact that we've been able to partner with them. And not just that they have a house, but that they're connected with people who are introducing them to the truth of how Jesus loves them. It's amazing. You look at true mentors and the lives that have been impacted through that. And the kids who've been impacted through that. It's amazing. When you look locally, you see both churches that we've been able to plant. And some of you are aware of this and some of you aren't. We haven't talked about it that much recently. We really wanted to wait till Easter to make a really big deal of it because that's when they're going to begin their weekly services. But some of you know that our second church plant in Jersey City has already begun to launch. Not only have we planted Downtown Community Church, but now also Crossroad Community Church is beginning to launch in the backside of Jersey City. And they're starting to hold their monthly services. And on Easter morning, they're kicking off their weekly services. It's amazing what God is allowing us to be a part of. Another thing that we haven't announced yet, but we're really excited about, is that Hope and Future recently opened their center, and they're getting ready for their grand opening and moving forward in that. There's going to be thousands of kids who are going to be impacted through that, and we've been able to be part of that. It's amazing. It's amazing in all of these different aspects of how we're working to help people find their way back to God. God is allowing us to grow and advance and move forward. Even when you look at what's happening inside of Hoboken Grace and what we're developing and helping people, not just helping people walk in the doors of Hoboken Grace, but helping them continue on their journey to find their way back to God. Let me just walk you through this because we've been introducing a lot of different things over the course of the past year, and I want you to kind of see how they work together or how they fit together because there's a lot of different environments that have been introduced, and I want you to know where you can find them and how you can be involved in them. Because some of you don't know, and so you're not taking advantage of them. But our family life team has been working tirelessly, and God has been doing some really incredible things and helping us design things to not just help people take the first step into their relationship with Christ, but to continue taking steps along that journey. There's a whole path here that's beginning to be developed and that's coming into place. It begins with this thing that you hear us talk about frequently called Next. And this idea of Next, that this is your first step. And at Next, we're introducing people to the message of Jesus Christ, to the gospel. We're walking them through it and making it extremely clear. We're also talking to them about all the different ways that they can continue growing. And we're introducing them to the rest of this, of what you see here on this screen. And then we have what is baptism. And some of you have stepped into this relationship with Christ, but you haven't trusted him in taking that step of baptism. And so we've created this environment, and this place where you can sit down and talk through the questions that you have about baptism and be introduced to the importance of that on this journey with Christ. And then you have core, where we're able to talk through, okay, what is a church? What does it mean to be a part of a church? How can we commit to one another and enter into this journey, not just as individuals, but as a community? And we're talking through that. What does it mean to be a member? Intro to Impact is going to teach you not just to serve. One of the words that we're trying to eliminate here at Hoboken Grace is this word volunteer, because that's not what we do here. We don't volunteer here. We serve here. And Intro to Impact is helping you walk through, okay, how do I take on the identity of a servant? And how do I not just serve on a team, but how do I experience God in my service? And it's a powerful conversation of how to be able to experience God's love and to begin to engage God in how you're serving the people around you. Amplify is one of the most important things that we do here at Hoboken Grace. We do it twice a year. It's a one-day intensive. And at Amplify, there's several different things that we've strategically begun to build. We want to walk you through some foundational things in your life as a follower of Christ. We want to teach you how to be able to experience him on a daily basis and develop habits that allow you to pursue him the way he's pursuing you. We want to be able to teach you in story how to be able to share with your coworker your faith. And you're nervous about it. You're trying to figure out, how do I do this? How do I talk to my family about this Jesus that I've met? How do I share my story? And story is designed to help you do that. and powers designed to help you understand your giftedness. How are you designed? How do you find those gifts? How do you begin to use those gifts? And then we've begun to develop book studies within Amplify that are very, very strategic. Very strategic, because we want to equip you to be able to engage this journey with God in a way that allows you to thrive. And so we want to teach you how to study God's Word. The book studies in Amplify are picked strategically. One of the book studies is to introduce you. And you're walking through a book, but the point of it is to introduce you to Old Testament history. So when you're reading those history books in the Old Testament, I'm reading this story. How am I supposed to apply that to my life? How does that pertain to today at all? And it's teaching you how to do that. When you're reading through prophecy, I'm reading through Isaiah, and I see how it points to Christ, but what does this have to do with me? How does this impact my journey with God, how I experience God in this, in the Gospels? And we're introducing you to the different literature types and intentionally equipping you to be able to engage those with God. And all of this is designed to help people, again, continue to find their way back to God. Lead is designed to help people who are stepping into leadership in all sorts of different areas to be able to determine, okay, how do I lead the way Christ says to lead? Because Christ says to his disciples, listen, you're not going to lead the way the world leads. The world leads by dominating the people around them, by lording over them. He says, but now it's not going to be that way with you. For you, you're going to serve the way that I've served you. Our leadership's different than the leadership that you've seen. And so in lead, we're walking through, how do I do that? How do I develop as a leader in that way? Axiom is one of the really exciting things that we brought in this past year and that we're really excited about this next year. And for those who are members, we've created this space. It's a weekend retreat that we're going to hold every single year where you're going to be able to walk through with people who've been on this journey for a very long time. What does it mean to actually engage God in contemplative prayer? In a prayer life that's more than just requests, in a prayer life that's deeply meaningful, and in a prayer life that's relational. It's a powerful, powerful tool to continue that journey. And then you have our story studies. These used to be called Sunday studies. As a matter of fact, on our site, they still are called Sunday studies. But the problem is we don't just have them on Sundays anymore. They're all throughout the week, and we're adding ones to different nights of the week. And our story studies are designed, again, strategically to help people find their way back to God. And with these book studies, what we're trying to do is to introduce you to the narrative, the overall narrative of God's Word. You need to understand the whole story so that as you engage the different pieces, you see where it fits. So we're walking through Genesis. Why? It's crucial that you understand the beginning of the story. We're walking through Acts. Why? It's crucial that you understand the beginning of the church. We're walking through these crucial points in the story and walking you through those books intentionally to be able to continue helping you find your way back to God. And I know some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, man, I didn't know that this was available. I didn't know that this was... I want to introduce you to a tool because it's really important as we move into this next year that you know about this. If you go to our website, we've created a new page called Next Steps. And the Next Steps page basically gives you access to everything that you saw on that previous sheet. So as you come to the Next Steps, it's going to introduce you to the growth path. And this is our the way in which we are helping people find their way back to God. It kind of lays the whole thing out for you, and you're able to see that there. As you scroll down, it's going to introduce you to the Sunday classes, the next environment, core, what is baptism, intro to impact. Not only is it going to tell you what they are, but you're going to be able to click on those, and you can sign up for them right there. It's going to tell you the next date. You can register for it and go ahead and get yourself involved in that. The tools. Our experience plan, put on, put off sheets, your circle sheets, all of them can be found here. As you continue to scroll down, you're going to see Amplify. Not only is it going to tell you about Amplify, but you can register for Amplify. You can see all the different breakouts that are available that day and how you can be involved in them. And then our Sunday, as I said, it's still called Sunday Stories. It'll soon be changed to our story studies, but you see those laid out there and the ones that are available. And again, not only are you able to see what's available, but you can register for it. It's to me, as you look at what's happened, and especially having been here from the beginning, to see all of this and to see that it's happened in 8 years, it's amazing. It's amazing. And to see how people are taking meaningful, powerful steps in their lives on every aspect of this journey. And not just a few people, but by God's grace. It's amazing to see how many people. We talked about it at Teams Night the other night, that January, for the first time in January, for the first time in our history, Hoboken Grace averaged over 700 people each weekend. In January. As you look at this first month, we have just a few people shy of 400 people who are active in our dinner groups. That's not just 400 people who signed up and never going to attend. No, that's 400 people who are active inside of our dinner groups. It's not just that people are coming to a service. It's that people are engaging in community and engaging in, okay, how do I serve? How do I take steps to actually find my way back to God? It's amazing. It's amazing. And in 8 years, we've been able to see this happen. And the truth is, Anthony said, we are 8 years old, which means we're in third grade. And it's important for us to understand that we're in third grade. It's important for us to understand that we're just getting started. It's important for us to understand that we've got a lot to learn. Third graders are great, but third graders are dumb. Third graders have a lot to learn. And sometimes people will come to me and say, well, Chris, as Hoboken Grace, why aren't we doing this yet? And I tell them, hey, listen, we're in second grade. Now I have to tell them we're in third grade, so there's a little bit more expected of us. But I tell them, listen, we're in third grade. We're not going to get there today. It's not going to happen immediately. When a third grader tries to act like they're in college, they just end up making a fool of themselves. And that's true of us, too. We understand we're not there yet, even when it comes to our mission. When we set out on that, when we got together as the five of us and we were looking, okay, we believe God wants us to move into this city and to do something that's going to change the way that this city sees God. When we sat down and set out with this mission of helping people find their way back to God, it was not a mission of helping 500 people find their way back to God. It was not a mission of helping 1,000 people find their way back to God. We've been given our field. Our field is Hoboken. It was 50,000 people. And it is not okay. It's not okay to settle with 700 and say to the other 50,000, oh, listen, we're good. No. We got a long ways to go. Our goal is not to help a few people find their way back to God. Our goal is to help every single person in Hoboken find their way back to God. It's really important for us to understand that we have not arrived. We're just getting started. But it's also important to celebrate. It's also important to look back and reflect and realize, man, God has done something amazing. God has done something phenomenal. And as I look back, and even last night as I was getting ready for today, just thinking back of all that God's done, one of the things that I'm reminded of is that one of the main reasons why we are where we are, one of the main reasons why we are where we are is because of those who've come before. One of the main reasons why we are where we are is because of those who have come before you. One of the reasons why we can sit here in this space, why you can sit here in this space, and why we can celebrate the way that we celebrate is because there have been those who have come before you in this mission. And some of them are here, but most of them are not. And I want to help you understand something about them today. You see, the reason why we're able to be here today is because those who've come before you, that they bought into a question. They leaned into a question. It's a question that we've asked from the very beginning. It's a question that was burned into my soul when I was just a child. remember my parents bought me a book about this man, D.L. Moody. And I began to read through his story. And as I read through his story, it blew me away. The story of D.L. Moody is a story worth knowing. We don't have time to tell it today, but it's a story that you should explore. It's the story of a shoe salesman who changed the world, changed the church in America forever. And I remember reading through his story, and as I read through his story, as it came to the end of the story, it shared something that D.L. Moody wrote in the front of every Bible he ever had. It was just one simple line. It was a line that was shared with him by a friend of his. It was a line that changed his life, and it changed my life from that day on. In the front of his Bible, he wrote this: "It remains to be seen what God will do with a man who gives himself up wholly to him." D.L. Moody said that from the moment his friend said that, his life was never the same. It remains to be seen what God will do with a man who gives himself up wholly to him. He wrote it in the front of his Bible. He read it every single day and asked himself that question: what could God do with a man who decided to live his life wholly, devoted to him? From the moment that I read that in that book, that line, it's lived with me. And when the five of us came together on the night that we decided to launch Hoboken Grace, we'd finally found our space, we asked each other this question: what do we believe God could do with five people who decided to sell out to him and his mission? And I remember sitting in that meeting and thinking, the possibilities are endless, but to be honest with you, I had serious doubts if we'd ever get to be where we are today. But we decided to lean into the question. Several months later, when we had our first service, that service that you saw on the screen there, I asked the 30 people who showed up, surprisingly, most of them were family members, I asked them the question: what do we believe God could do with 30 people who sold out to him and his mission? When we first met in this space, we asked the 60 people who gathered in this room in about one-third the number of chairs, we asked them, what do we believe God could do with 60 people who were fully sold out to him and his mission? When we started our second service, we asked, what do we believe God could do with 120 people who were sold out to him and his mission? 3 years ago on our fifth birthday, we asked, what do we believe God could do if there were 500 people in this community who were sold out to him and his mission? Today, I ask you, honestly, what do you think God could do with 700 people who decided to sell out to him and his mission? What do you think? One of the reasons why we're able to sit here today is because those who've come before you have decided to lean into that question, have decided to ask themselves the question, that D.L. Moody asked himself, what could God do? Understanding that the world has yet to see what God could do with a man fully devoted to him. From the beginning, we've decided to lean into that question. There's a passage in Scripture that calls us to look back on those who've come before us. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer is calling the church to look back on those who've come before him or come before them. And specifically looking at their faith. I want to read you through it. We don't have time to read it. It's in your online program. You can read through the whole thing. Up here on the screen, it's just going to be moving really quickly because I'm just going to be reading through the first names of these people as you walk through this chapter. But we're going to walk through the whole thing really quickly because I think there's something really powerful to be seen here. It starts off in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says this. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is what the ancients were commended for." It says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." It says, "By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went." As you continue to walk through this, it says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance." It says, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. By faith, Moses, when he grew up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed." And he comes to the end of it. He says, "And what more should I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." He says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised." He's talking about Christ. He says, none of them got to see. He says, God had planned something better for us. He said, we've actually been able to see it. So that only together with us would they be made perfect. And then he goes into this passage. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And he's walking them through this, and he's calling them to look back. He says, listen, you need to look back on those who've come before you. You need to look back. And sometimes I think we misunderstand this passage, because I've often heard this passage used in such a way as to say, listen, you need to look back. Look at their faith. Why can't you have faith like them? What's wrong with you that you don't have faith like them? And we lift up their faith as the motivation for why we should have faith. But that's not the point of the passage. Listen to me, because some of you misunderstand this passage. That's not the point of the passage. The point of the passage is not to champion or celebrate their faith. It's pointing out their faith, but that's not the champion of the passage. The passage is not about how great these men and women were. That's not what it's about. It's about the reality that these are individuals who leaned into God's promise. These are individuals who leaned into the possibility of what God could do with them. These are individuals who dared to believe God, that he wanted to use them and move through them. And so in the passage, he's calling us to look at it. And then he says something about them. Listen, this is crucial to understanding. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let me ask you something. What are they witnesses to? They're not witnesses to how great their faith was. That's how you know it's not a celebration of their faith. That's not what they're witnesses to. They're witnesses to the faithfulness of God. They're witnesses to. Listen, you can lean into the promise, and even though it might not happen the way you think, even though it might not happen in the timing that you think, when you lean into God's promise, you can know that He will be faithful. He's saying, look at these people's lives. They're witnesses to the fact that God comes through. And He didn't come through when they were alive, but look at but when you look at Jesus, you see that God is faithful, and He was faithful to what He promised Abraham, and He was faithful to what He promised, and He worked to those. He was faithful. They're witnesses to the faithfulness of God. You can lean into it, which is the point of the whole passage. Because listen to the verse right before Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 10, 39 says this. He says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. He's calling them to lean into the promise of God. And He says to them, listen, we're not those who move through this journey with hesitation. We're not those who move through this journey with fear. Fear is no, that's not who we are. We're the ones who lean into it. We're the ones like Moses and Abraham. We're the ones who lean into the promise of God and the possibility of how God could use us and what God could do through us. He said, we're the ones who lean into it. And since we're surrounded by so many witnesses of God's faithfulness, let us put off anything that keeps us from leaning into what God has called us to. As we come to our eighth birthday, I want to bring us back to a question that we have called ourselves to over and over again. What could God do with 700 people who are completely committed to Him and His mission? And will you lean into it? Will we lean into that? Having been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, both in the story that we see in the scriptures and even here in our mission, will we lean into it? And embrace the question, God, how would you use me as I'm fully committed and sold out to you? May we, as we move into the next year and the next eight, may we do all that we can to know the answer to that question. May we do all that we can to know the answer to that question. What could God do? Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this and as we look at how you're calling us to lean into the possibility of how you would use us, Father, I pray that your faithfulness in the lives of those who come before us, that it would motivate us, that it would move us forward. That it would move us forward in trusting you, not just partially, but in wholly selling out to you and your mission. In Jesus' name, amen.